Blog Talk Radio.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
Borden took an axe and gave her mother 40 whacks. When she realized what she'd done, she gave her father 41. Hey, everybody out there. We're just jumping some rope over here at the GG Studios, singing some of our favorite songs. But anyway, oh my God. Do you know what I just heard? Did I just hear what? I don't know. What? Oh my God, I think that was Batman. Batman just flew through the studios, everyone. Now, I just want to remind everybody out there, it was a friendly reminder from your folks at the GG Studios to go see The Dark Knight, patronize your movie theaters. As much as you hate Hollywood, as much as you hate the new cinema out there, please go see The Dark Knight because it rocks. Oh my God. Anyway, we decided, because we have a huge, huge 2 weeks planned for the GG Studios, the GG show itself, and yes, me, GG. break it down. We have a huge, huge 2 weeks planned. We, this week's just going to be nuts. I've got so much to do. And then Friday, we're hopping in the good old vehicle, and we are road tripping USA style, and we are heading to Spirit Fest over there in Joplin, Missouri. We're going to do, Techie Ed and I are going to do a little whatever. We're going to do something a little different that our folks in Joplin Paranormal Research Group are not prepared for. I'm going to tell you guys a story, right? Sit down, kids. Story time. They're like, but every time we listen to the GG show, it's story time. It's one long 60-minute story. You should. Oh, my God. No. So, anyway, I sign on, right? I start doing speaking arrangements or whatever. And, you know, I was doing some stuff for the horror community, some stuff for the paranormal community, trying to merge the two communities together because, yeah, they are sister communities and everybody should share and share alike. So I was over there, you know, trying to bond the bridges, so to speak, and doing a lot of speaking stuff. But I'm like, you know, I dig going to the conventions, and I dig seeing, like, John Zaffis, Troy Taylor, Rosemary Ellen Guiley. I dig seeing these guys do their thing. Their thing is, you know, going to the conventions and, you know, putting on a presentation, showing slides, you know, showing artifacts, whatever it is that they're doing. They do a presentation, you know, a Q&A, you know, this is what I do, a story thing, almost like a class. It's almost like teaching. It's like a lecture, you know, whatever. And people come from all over to see these guys talk, and they're very informative. These guys rock. They're the best of the best in the biz. And I totally dig that, you know. But that's not me. Like, that's their thing, you know. But me, I really don't want to get up in front of people and lecture them, you know. It's like, yeah, I do this and I do this. I don't really care if you want to do it. You know, if you do, that's cool. But who am I to lecture you and how to do something? So, I mean, those guys can because, you know, they're the cream of the crop. But Gigi's an entertainer. She wants to make people laugh. She wants to make people feel good. You know, yeah, I want you guys to learn some stuff. You know, I'll throw some things at you, some movie stuff and some paranormal stuff you might not know. But still, I'm more like the feel, like I said, we've said from day one that we want from this show is where you're sitting on a couch drinking beer, with your buddies talking about paranormal and horror movies, you know, just sitting with your friends and just BSing, talking about whatever the hot topic of the day is, you know, who's Britney banging this week, you know, whatever, making fun of stuff, just being funny, having a good time. And yeah, you know, I'm going to have people on that you guys might want to hear from, you know, like some of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre guys or, you know, Mr. Zathis himself. So getting these guys on, there'll be a chance for you to ask questions and things like that. But still, that's not my bag. You know, that's not my thing. Getting all Awesome Powers there, it's not my bag, baby. But seriously, I don't want to get up in front of people and, like, just blab about and lecture. I don't want to do a lecture. That's what I don't want to do. So I had agreed, you know, like I said, with the show being the way it is and with Gore Girl evolving, that was kind of this weird little sick little, like, universal thing. Like, here's Gore Girl. Start off as a little amoeba and Ghost Maniman Hunter, like, before the first show even started. And then we started to grow. And now we're kind of forming an animal. And now we're, okay. So, you know, I mean, it's funny how the Gore Girl, you know, show and how everything, you know, and how G&D, my God, how everything's grown. You know, how successful everything is and how much fun it is. So I'm down, you know, but I don't want to lecture people. I just want to get up there and be like, you know what? I want to make you laugh. I want you to have a good time. I want you to feel movies. I want you to feel the paranormal. I don't want you to sit there and listen to me tell you my stories. I don't want you to sit there and listen to me tell you where I was at Waverly Hills. I want you to be there. I want you to feel passion. I want you to get in your car and go there. You know, I mean, I don't want to tell you about my experiences. I want you to have your own. So that's what I'm saying is, you know, I want to entertain. I want to do this and that. So anyway, Spirit Fest, right? I love these guys, Joplin Paranormal Research. It's their first ever conference. I guess I'm going there to represent Ghostly Talk and Ghost Me and Demon Hunter because those guys couldn't make it, but go out there, spread the good word about paranormal radio. Is there a good word about paranormal radio? I'm not sure. I don't know. Anyway, I think any good word there was, we destroyed with our show. So they're like, and that's it. So good time. But no, so we're going to Spirit Fest, right? And good stuff. I agree to get up there. And I had done a couple arrangements where I spoke, you know, people requested I speak about my experiences. Okay, fine, you know, since I was kind of like the Hollywood rookie kid and, you know, the movie girl thrown in with all these paranormal guys. You know, ghost hunting was always kind of a little thing I did. So here I am thrown into this, like all these crazy experiences, all this stuff happened to me super fast. So I'm like, okay, yeah, I'll share all this. You know, I'll share who I've seen, who, you know, just the stuff I've been exposed to since getting into this industry, how crazy it is and how cool and the camaraderie and the family type relationships with people. So, you know, how everybody comes together and seeing all the fans at the shows and, you know, the information they have and, you know, the stuff they do and things are falling all over. I don't know what's happening. My producer's like, earthquake, earthquake. Really? At this time? Did I miss something? I miss a news report? I think she's just trying to get us to shut up. Never! And by the way, twat. So anyway, like I was saying, my producer's cackling now. They hate us and they love us. It's great. I love it. Can you please knock the rent off the studio? That'd be awesome. So anyway, they're like, no, not at all. Or they're slaves, so we start, you know, picking up more viewers, listeners, whatever you want to call it. So anyway, I do this whole, you know, I go around, I was speaking of these experiences and about being the rookie or whatever and how funny it is to be thrown into this world and how similar it is to the horror community, to filming, to, you know, the movie industry, how very much in sync these two communities are. So they are, in essence, feeding off of each other. So, okay, whatever. So I agreed to do some stuff, and I was like, yeah, I'll do a couple of them, you know, whatever, not a big deal. Well, then a couple started growing more and more and more and more, and I was like, I don't really want to do this, though. Like, I agreed to do a few of them just to get the word out for the show and stuff like that for Ghost Man Demon Hunter, which is on right before us, and you can check them out at www.ghostanddemon.com. So anyway, you know, going to spread the word, doing the whole PR thing. I was basically ordered to for my business manager. No, I'm kidding. Just kidding. But I liked it. I like going out and seeing the fans. I like going out and meeting new people. It's all good. And so I go out there, and now all of a sudden it's a bunch of speaking engagements. And I'm like, whoa. I'm like, I am not John Zaffis, okay? That's the man you want to go see, all right? Those people, you want to go hear them talk. I was like, me? You want me to make you laugh. So I was like, screw this. So anyway, Spirit Fest is, I agreed to do these guys, and they had asked me, well, not do them in that way, but that's,
no,
like,
I could not laugh.
That's later. And I requested about 5 or 6 cases of KY. So anyway, with strawberry cream filled donuts. No, I'm just kidding. That's what the GG Hour requires. We want 5 or 6 cases of KY and some cream filled donuts.
Don't forget the
dark condom. Yeah, glow in the dark condom. We make shadow people. They're like, oh my God, these guys are insane. Yes, yes, we are. So anyway. I was like, we're going to Spirit Fest, right? I had already agreed to do it for these guys. They got a cool thing. They got bands playing. I highly suggest everyone go. It's going to be pretty kick butt. I mean, I don't know. Can I say kick ass on there? Well, I just did. So it's going to be pretty kick ass. And it's on an old, like, tribal ground. I can't remember the tribes that were there, but an old, you know, Indian tribal ground. And so they were saying you could literally, it's kind of like Gettysburg. Gettysburg, you could walk through a field and, like, kick over a Union belt buckle. Pretty much you could walk through the woods and around the cave and stuff and kick over, like, arrowheads and, you know, thousands of stuff from, you know, that the Indians have left behind. So, I mean, how cool is that? And you know how tied the Native Americans are to the land and how spiritual they are. I mean, we get so many things from them. Peggy Yed can, you know, add to that. That, I mean, just so much with mythology and everything. But so we're going there, and it's really cool. It's going to be awesome, you know. You get to hunt through the ground. You could do a little ghost hunting if you'd like, trying to communicate with some past spirits there. I think some people are camping out in the cave. They're going to try to do some investigation or something. And then they have bands playing all day. It starts at, like, 2, I think. And it's the 16th, this Saturday, Joplin, Missouri. It's really cool, though. I mean, you could check out their website and stuff, and their Spirit Fest, the Joplin Paranormal Research Group, very cool guys. Like I said, I wish them the best of luck. I hope it's a good turnout. But it seems like a lot of fun. There's going to be tons of bands playing and then random people speaking. And, of course, I'm randomly shoved in there, and I'm like, oh, okay, I will speak. So here I am. I'm going, and I'm going to speak to these people, right? I'm like, all right, whatever. I talk to you guys every week, but it's because you're like family, all right? You know, I just blab on. If you don't listen, whatever. I talk anyway. I can talk to a wall. I don't know. Somebody said I can talk to chicken off a bone. I talk to hind legs off a donkey. And then my producers always say, and there's a lot of donkeys running around the planet with looking for their hind legs. So I don't know. I can basically talk. You guys know that. And so here we go. We're going to Spirit Fest. Good stuff. So I don't know. I was thinking about it, and I was really getting down to the nitty-gritty with it. Like, do I really want to do an engagement? Do I really want to speak about some of the experiences that, like, how do I want to approach this? So I was like, you know, I am the movie girl. I know my crap. I'm down on it. I know all the inside stuff. So I want to speak about movies. That's what I want to speak about. And I want to somehow connect it for these paranormal guys to get the two communities together. So then I came up with this idea. And the Joplin Paranormal Group has no idea I'm doing this. So I hope it's okay. But I decided we have to do a show that Sunday. We're going to be at Spirit Fest that Saturday. Instead of going around and getting interviews with people, why don't we just do a show right on stage? Why don't I just jump on stage, slap the thing on, and freaking record a show? I mean, I think I'm only up there like 45 minutes or something, but throw it on there and record 45 minutes of a show, you know? So I'm going to get up there, and basically these people are going to have no clue what's going on because I'm going to jump up there with a mic and be like, we're going to play the theme song, and I'm going to start rambling and just start talking like I talk to you guys now. So here these, and I think it's really cool because we're going to promote the show by showing them a show. So what better way to do it? So I'm geared for it. I can't wait. I think it's going to be good stuff. And if Joplin, you know, gets mad and like massacres us, then obviously we won't be doing a show next Sunday. But next Sunday is scheduled to be our Spirit Fest show. So that's why this week, guys, I wanted to kind of take it easy. You know, we grabbed a beer. We're just sitting here hanging out. I wanted to just talk to you guys about some stuff. But Becky is freaking out because his technology's not working right for him. Just blow up the machine. Stop. He doesn't even say technology. Just stop. I hate stop. So anyway, that's pretty much it. Next week we're going to be doing Spirit Fest and road tripping, good stuff. Then we turn around Sunday, and my business manager and I head out to good old Atlanta, Georgia. We have some meetings scheduled, some Gore Girl things to handle, so we'll see what happens. So it's going to be a busy 2 weeks, folks. So I'll be in some random hotel room in Atlanta bringing you the show. That's all I know. So good times. But that's Spirit Fest. Let's get on with the rest of it. I figured they were owed an explanation of why the show is going to be insane next week. They're going to be listening like, what? What? Where are they? What's happening? What? Are they drunk? Well, they're always drunk, but they're just in a different location now. They're moving on up. They're in Missouri now. So, I don't know. That was funny stuff. Did you hear this crap that Bernie Mac died?
I did.
I don't mean to laugh, guys. Okay, I think he's a funny guy. I hated that Cedric the Entertainer. He's not funny. I don't think he's funny. There's a lot of guys out there I don't think are funny. Okay, and I don't know. People are gonna get mad at me. Adam Sandler, he's not funny. He was funny in like Billy Madison, but after that, I was like, no, you're not funny anymore. And that's it. That's how I feel about Adam Sandler. He's gonna be on the show now and be like, you don't like me. Yeah, whatever. Shut up. It's like Val Kilmer. It's like my mutual dislike for Val Kilmer. No, I mean, I don't know Adam Sandler as a person, so I'm sure he's a good guy, but yeah, I don't think he's funny.
I agree.
There we go. Good time.
I'm not even
going to debate. We're not even going to debate. Yeah, it's just agreed. That's settled. I mean, I liked one movie and that was it. That's not a career. A career does that not make? So, can we get some Yoda in here? Ah! Not funny, Sandler is. Can we throw Kilmer in there? No. We're getting all these people hating us. I don't want to be on her show. She talks trash. Whatever. I will tell you that I don't really care for your career, I guess it is. Anyway, so I find out Bernie Mac died, right? Of course I find out through the grapevine, because heaven forbid I turn on a news channel and like actually hear it during normal people hours, you know? So I hear it from some random person. I'm like, what? He did not die. I was like, because I know he went in the hospital. He's only like 50. I know he went in the hospital for some like completely normal standard thing and comes out dead. I don't know. If I were the family, I was actually thinking about this the other day. I was like, just randomly, I'm in my daily life functioning somehow. And then all of a sudden just randomly in my head, they should sue the hospital. Like, I'm just thinking about Bernie Mac's wife. I'm like, you should totally sue the hospital, girl. I swear to God, because your hubby goes in, he's got minor complications, comes out dead. You should sue the hospital. Something happened. That's all I'm saying. Not pointing fingers, but I would go look at wherever you admitted him at, L.A. General or Betty Ford, wherever it was that he died. I'm just kidding. I really think you should look into that, because that's the problems right there. But, I thought Bernie Mac was funny. I mean, he had some good stuff. He had a couple good skits I liked, but he was one of the only ones with a show that could actually, like, stomach a laugh or two. He was nuts because he was crazy. He had, like, the crazy afro hair, and he had, like, the crazy eyeballs, and he was like, ah! And I'm like, oh, God, you're scary. So I like Bernie Mac, and, you know, it's sad. So, but you know what? Here's my theory on this, okay? Actually, it's not my theory. It's my business manager's theory. She said this to me, and she's dead serious, and I agree with her. She said that the reason Bernie Mac died was because everybody in heaven is bored and they need more comedians to die.
It is possible.
So this is, I'm totally down. This is, I'm serious. Because how boring is it up there? All like the funny people, I mean, well, you do have extra funny people like George Burns and, you know, Spencer Tracy. You have all these really funny people up there. So, okay, John Belushi, I will give you have some great comedians, but they need some more, you know? These guys need somebody to play off of.
They need something fresh, you know? How many
exactly.
times can you watch Chris Farley?
And heaven's a big place. I'm sure not everybody could get tickets to go see Chris Farley up there.
Exactly.
You know, I'm sure everybody, you know, they're handing in their golden tickets, and I'm sure there's not enough to see Belushi. So, you know, and I'm sure it's the same usual crowd of people trying to get in to see Belushi. So for those, you know, you need more comedians to spread out. There's a lot of people up there. And so here's what I'm thinking is they're like, we need more comedians. So all the comedians are going to die. If you're funny, if you're remotely funny, you're dead. You're going to be dead tomorrow. They're going to take you up there, and they're going to put you on a stage. So I just want everybody to know I'll be dead tomorrow.
Oh.
I'll be dead. Because I'm funny in the head. So I don't know if it counts or it's the same thing, but I'm funny in the head. So I think I'll be dead in a couple of days. They're like, yes! Can I get Gore Girl's towel? No! Buried in the towel is all I can say about that, biatches. So, I don't know, I was laughing about that, but he just cracked me up. And, I mean, I'm not laughing that he died, you know, because his wife's probably like, I hate you. No, I'm seriously, it's sad that he died, but I'm laughing because I could totally see that happening. I could totally see them being up there like, we have a shortage of comedians. Quick, quick, send things down. Bugs, plague, I don't know, send something down. Kill everybody that's funny. We need them. Ah! I don't know, so that was just, that was insane. That was a nice pause there. We could have had, as I swill my beer, we could have had, like, so I don't know, yeah, you could have, like, laughed longer or something. We need, like, something to fill that pause of dead air.
Could have been a drink of beer.
So every time I take a drink, it's going to be a 20-second delay. We're like, okay, whatever. Oh, my God. So there's something I wanted to do tonight, guys. And my producer told me that I wasn't allowed to do it. And I don't know, though, because it was kind of funny. It would be a reason I would die. But, you know how we have all these fake psychics out there in the world? I mean, people cannot pick psychics for the life of them. You know, they pick a psychic and the guy ends up screwing them like, yes, I'm sensing a K. There's somebody in your family with the name K. No. D. I meant D. I totally meant D. No. F. Oh, yeah, my Uncle Frank. That's exactly who I was thinking of. So you get all these psychics. They're I don't know. There's some psychics that I truly am like, wow, am wowed behind. But there's a lot of people that are trying to ride the bandwagon. I don't know if they can't find something they're good at or they can't find a niche they fit into or maybe they really are just trying to make some quick cash off some suckers, which is the case a lot of times with some of these psychics. But there are a lot of great psychics out there, and I hate to see their reputation marred by people that can't hack it, people that are just doing it, you know, to get cash and to be creeps about it. So, I mean, some of my personal, you know, best friends are, you know, world-renowned psychics, and they're awesome. I love these guys. They're just on it, and they're fantastic, and they truly have a gift. And as you know, here at the GG Studios, we're all about spirituality, and we ourselves have a little bit of psychic ability. They're like, great, they're drinking, and now they think they're psychic. Quick, call in, I'll predict your future. It's only 29.99 a minute. Quick. So anyway, I was like, all right. But there's this one girl. She just drives me insane. I can't, okay. Yeah, just putting his head down. He knows where I'm going with this. There's this girl. Oh, bless her soul. Oh, she's lost, okay? She's just very, she's had a lot of things happen in her life. I keep trying to remember this and not make fun of her. It's not my higher and best self, you know, the Buddhism stuff and the Zen and all that. So I'm trying very hard to choose my words carefully. But she's had a lot of bad stuff happen, and she's kind of misled. And I think what happened in her case was where she found, you know, because the paranormal is like a community. We're like a family. We all kind of stick together, and it's, you know, we embrace everybody. And if you're psychic or, you know, you're an empath or you're telepathic or you're clairvoyant or, heck, if you do Reiki or you're a ghost hunter or you're a demonologist, I mean, you're embraced into this community. So I don't know if just because she's had some bad luck in her time, she decided that this felt safe. I'm not sure the reasonings, but you feel sorry for her when you look at it in the whole picture. But she's really, really just, I mean, there's times I really just want to literally bitch smack her because, I mean, I don't believe in spreading false propaganda to people, especially with the paranormal stuff, because then you're just hurting everybody. And like I said, I know some awesome psychics out there, and to have somebody like her running around and marring it really angers me. That really ticks me off. It's like, dude, let these people do it because you are just totally making a joke out of them. And I don't know, but she goes around and makes cards and stuff and says she's psychic, right? Okay, fine. If you're psychic, you're psychic. Prove it, right? You know, it's no big deal. She does readings for people, and no. I've witnessed this, and no. Like, even the people look at me like, is this for real? Is she joking? What is wrong with her? Like, seriously, she's not on it at all. So what I was going to do was prove to you guys, or it will show you that there is a way you can figure out a good psychic from a bad psychic. So what I wanted to do, which is not unsimilar to what millions of people do on radio all the time with the prank calls and stuff, we were going to have Peggy Ed call her up on our professional line, call her up and just say he wanted a reading from her, and then have her proceed with the reading, and we'll let it go all the way through. And, you know, let Techie Ed just actually, I mean, not setting it up in any way, like actually answer truthfully to everything. And then when he hung up with her, we were going to go through point by point and tell you exactly what it is that she said that proves to you that she's ripping you off for your money. Because you could tell there's certain things that she's saying and certain things she's asking Ed that would tell you it's not for real. But my producers basically said if I did it, I'd be fired. And I was like, people do it all the time. They do it every day all the time. What are you talking about? And they were like, no, you can't do that because it's bad karma. What, am I living in a hippie hut? Seriously. Am I in a hippie hut?
I think it's an excellent idea.
I think it's a great idea because we're doing a public service. We're showing people that they can tell the difference. You don't have to be manipulated. You don't have to be manipulated and your dollar's stolen from your pocket. You do not have to take it in the behind without jelly. I swear to God, guys. And imply what you will, KY, strawberry grape, whatever. So I know that's what I'm saying is I want to do this. I thought it'd be funny. So what I'm thinking is that I'm going to say I'm not going to do it. But then I'm really going to do it. So I don't know, though. I'm, like, fumbling my fingers. Like, I don't think we'll do it on this show, though, because, like I said, guys, we've got so much crap going on right now getting ready for Spirit Fest, so I think we're just going to let it float. But don't be surprised if we come back from commercial break and we're doing it. That's all I'm saying. But I don't know. Cast your vote, guys. Do you think we should do this? My producers say it's bad karma. It's not your higher and best self to make fun of people. We're not making fun of her. We're showing a public service to you guys of how you can tell that you're being scammed. So, I don't know, I just thought it was kind of cool and something to do, but I was bitch-smacked verbally, so guess I ain't doing it now. But I don't know, I think we're going to go to break, because I've just rambled for like 28 minutes. So, also cast a poll if you think that I've rambled about stupid things for 28 minutes. That's fine, we don't care. So, I think we're just going to go ahead and go to commercial.
And now, a word from our sponsors.
I say, Sean B., I've been thinking about all the things necessary to produce a proper paranormal broadcast.
Do tell, Nathan S., what are these vital qualities?
Empathy, commitment, quiet dignity, and self-respect.
Indeed! What a shame we don't have any of those traits!
Oh yeah, the Ghost Planet Demon Hunter show is rocking its way on the supernatural scene.
It's drive time paranormal broadcasting without the driving or the timing. Just go to www.ghostandhuman.com.
Think you know what goes bump in the night? You ain't heard nothing yet.
Each week we'll be bringing you the best and the worst kept secrets in the paranormal community.
Yeah, us, the Ghost Planet Demon Hunter. Sunday from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern. Standard time.
www.ghostanddemon.com. The Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show is beyond the normal broadcast.
Oh my God, that was our good old friends at G&D. I love you boys. Anyway, like I said, I hope this is a little relaxed show for you guys. Oh my gosh, gotta say though, I went to Pineapple Express. Oh my freaking God. Okay. I went and saw this movie, guys, and, you know, I go see as many movies as possible to let everybody know if they should or should not go see it, and I totally am not into the Hollywood type of movies. You know, I like Dazed and Confused. That was some funny stuff. There's Cheech and Chong is my ultimate, you know, any kind of pot-smoking funniness. That's my favorite there. So I go see Pineapple Express. I like James Franco. I think he's a decent actor. And I'm like, you know, I'm going to go see this. Wasn't sure what to expect. I just happened to be bored. And I was like, you know, I'm supposed to be seeing a movie. I've already seen everything that's out. This is the only thing I've not seen that's out. I'm going to go see it. So I go see it, and totally not knowing what to expect. And, oh, my God, it was actually funny. I am surprised at how funny this is. And it's mostly because of the banter between the two of them, between Seth Rogen and James Franco. The banter between these two guys is freaking hysterical. It's like talking to all your high friends. Like, seriously, it's like your friends that smoke up a lot, and I don't mean like once in a while the party kind of hit up. I mean like every day they're toking 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times a day. Oh, my God. It's like talking to them. It's freaking hysterical. I mean, that's where I was coming from, was from the perspective of these conversations are actual conversations you have with your friends. Like, seriously, I mean, okay, the situation's not the same as the plot, but this is all the stuff that I swear to God, it was like deja vu. I'm like, oh, my God, I had this conversation with my friend. Oh, my God, my friend said this the one time. It was like, it's hysterical because you're like, oh, and just stupid things. It's stupid funny, but it's actually funny. I actually liked it, and I recommend people go see it. The writing is awesome. The banter between those two guys is great. And just off-the-wall retarded things. Like, my God. Like, he's talking about Pineapple Express. It's the pot he has, right? And he's trying to describe, James Franco's trying to describe what this pot is like. And he's like, okay, it's like this pot had a baby, and then like this pot and this pot had a baby, and the two babies, and then like they had a baby. That's what it would be. And you're like, what? Freaking insane. And I loved it. It was funny. Just insane thing. And then like they get into a fight with Red, which is the guy that sells the drugs to James Franco. So they get into a fight with him, and they're all high, and they're fist fighting and stuff. So the guy up a freaking ashtray that must weigh like 15 pounds and like lobs it at Seth Rogen's head. He's like, oh! And you're just out of nowhere. You're like, what? And then they kick the door into the bathroom and Red's behind it trying to hold the door up. James Franco and Seth Rogen kick the door in and like literally take this guy out. He takes out the entire sink and the bathroom and everything. And you're like this, you don't expect this. This is not choreographed fights, you know? It's like, it's realistic fights that you would have with your friends, like stupid fights. Like you're kicking somebody and then like you slip and fall. Like it's just, it's realistic. That's what made me laugh. I mean, okay. Yeah. The whole getting chased by, you know, murdering pot dealers. Yeah. I've not had that happen too many times, but not too many, you know, I've been pretty good. My fair share. I'm less than 5, but I don't know. Everybody, you need to go see Pineapple Express because this was a funny movie. And I highly recommend you go see it. Because we were talking about the news here for a minute. Okay, I said go see Pineapple Express. We were talking about, you know, Bernie Mac dying because they need more comedians in heaven. Those bastards. But
give us back our comedians.
Dick Ticker Jeff! But, yeah, you were telling me something earlier because, once again, I'm out of the loop this week. I'm so consumed with Spirit Fest and the Atlanta trip. What was it you were telling me about Russia?
Oh, yeah, apparently Russia has decided to invade the country of Georgia. Not the state,
what,
the country.
Well, I think I would have known. Russia is not invading the U.S., they're just invading Georgia. They like the peaches. They want peaches. What is the purpose? What is this purpose?
I guess they're trying to swell a rebellion, from what I understand from my passing of looking at the news. But I don't know. I don't know what they're doing. Apparently, they're escalating the fighting. So basically, it's like Russia now Iraq and Georgia.
Not to make fun of Russia. What are they fighting with? Is it sticks and stones? Do they have weapons? Like, what is it?
I would imagine it'd be all their old Soviet weapons.
Get off the bamboo bike! If you turn fast enough, a bullet will come out.
Or it could be their ape men. They were researching that for a long time, I don't know.
It's the UFOs over Russia. The UFOs are invading Georgia. We're going to squell this rebellion. Call Siegfried 5. Ma! God. Russia, what are you doing? Now Russia's not going to invade the U.S. They're going to invade the GG Studios. Das, we do not like... Wait, where's my Russian? I have somebody, one of my producers does an awesome Russian accent. Where's my Russian? Come here. Can you come from behind the glass, please? I swear to God.
Yes.
This will take like 5 minutes. My listeners want this. They want this.
Yes.
Producer, can you do a Russian accent and say that you like Gigi and you're going to invade the studio and hold us hostage and do horrible experiments to us involving KY jelly?
Comrades, listen up.
We will be coming directly to the Gorgel Studios, as we know where she broadcasts from. We are leaving Siberia now. We should be there in about 48 hours. Be there. We will be taking Gorgel and Hoteki Yed, her sidekick. We hope you will not miss them. You can tune in on Siberia Radio next weekend. They will not make Spirit Fest.
Thank you, producer. Was it not like the best Russian accent?
Oh my god, that was awesome.
That was like the best Russian accent. Oh my god, every time she does that, I swear to god, I cry.
I almost
laughing.
I almost believed it. It was like about to be scared. I almost believed it.
I was wondering what this puddle under the chair was. You just scared the crap out of Techie Yes. Our producer just scared Techie Yes. Oh god, I'm crying. That was good stuff. See, this is the kind of insanity, guys. Yeah, we bring you news, we bring you guests, we bring you, you know, I bring you insider information on movies. I tell you what to look for in movies. But we just, you know, you just need to chill and relax. This is the other thing that Techie and I bring. We bring info. We bring guests. We bring fun and magic and Mickey Mouse hands. But we also bring, yes, like we have Mickey Mouse hands. Where did this come from? But we also are bringing you guys fun. We just want you to chill with us. You know, you hear all this important stuff on Ghostly Talk. You go through 3 hours of Ghostly Talk. You go through 2 hours of Ghost Man Demon Hunter. And then you get to us and you're like, your brain is overloaded. Chill. Relax. We're not quizzing you. We're not going to, you know, ask you, okay, tell me exactly word for word why you should watch, you know, Ghost Story with Fred Astaire, which I reviewed on Ghostman Demon Hunter earlier. You know, tell me exactly what it is about classic Hollywood. I mean, we're not, you know, tell me which number person that perished on the bridge in Point Pleasant due to the Mothman. Tell me their name and what sign they were of the Zodiac. No, we're not quizzing you guys. This is just, we're giving you info and we're making you relax. That's all we're doing. So, I don't know what to say other than that. But anyway, so I have to say that we have like 20 minutes. I got to get this in here. 20 minutes or I'll be dead. I actually am celebrating an anniversary today. It is my 6 month anniversary with my I don't know what do you want to call my person, my slave, my sex slave. I don't know. Anyway, my sex slave. I'm celebrating 6 months with my sex slave. Good times. And they won't be around for Spirit Fest, you know, man. 6 months is a cutoff date. Techie Ed and I got things to do, all right? Sex slaves, you expire at 6 months. So that's why I'm celebrating, because today is time for a new one. I'm currently hosting applications for new sex slaves. Please bring all bondage and equipment to the rehearsal. Since it's the anniversary, I figure, what better way to celebrate a Gorgel anniversary? Am I talking about famous slaughters that have happened in history?
I do like slaughters.
So anyway, wipe up the puddle as I speak.
All right, I get the rag.
From our Russian comrade. Because I was about to go into, like, Das. I'm like, wait, that's German. I was like, I can't do a Russian accent. I was like, where's my producer? She can do a Russian accent, like, perfectly. The woman's, I swear to God, she's a Russian gypsy. She's crazy. She came from the mountains. I don't know. Now, you know, we did the whole thing last week on canines and wolfbane and werewolves. Swear to God, she's putting a curse on us right now. Some gypsy curse. We're going to turn to werewolves by the damn, you know, the full moon. I don't know, Spirit Fest. We're going to be running around on all hooves.
That won't be too bad, I don't think.
No, yeah, it won't
either
be
way,
too bad.
Eating
flesh. Either way, I mean, we do it now, so it's not like it'll be any different. But, okay, guys, August 4th. I know we passed this anniversary, but we were busy doing the whole canine thing, and the week was crazy. August 4th, 1892. It's an important day. Get a little teary. That's when the anniversary, well, this would be the anniversary, of Andrew and Abby Borden's bodies being found in the Borden family home. The only ones home were, of course, Lizzie Borden and the maid, Bridget Sullivan. And this is like the most famous, one of the most famous cases in American history. You know, Lizzie Borden, I sang you the jump rope song, you know, at the beginning of the show. This is one of the most infamous, you know, unsolved murders to this day. Of course, everyone's like, plain as day, Lizzie did it. But back in the day, I mean, it wasn't so simple. You know, you didn't have the technology, you didn't have things like that. I mean, her stories were inconsistent, her behavior was suspect, things were happening. I mean, I've heard so many rumors about this, so many myths about her childhood. I mean, Lizzie Borden is like, she's infamous. She's a cult classic. She is like Return of the Living Dead to movie fans. This is how she is to serial killer fans, to masters of the macabre, to inquirers to the strange. This is the how Lizzie Borden ranks. She is a cult classic. She actually, like I said, well, I can't say that she did because we don't know for sure, but I'm pretty sure she did it. Anyway, supposedly, how about I put that in there and be politically incorrect? Supposedly, she used a hatchet and killed her father and her stepmother. Her dad's skull was crushed and his left eyeball was like cleanly split. I mean, the mom just, her face was completely annihilated. Think totally like an insane Jack the Ripper murder. I mean, just 10 times worse than Jack the Ripper as far as the face area. And it's kind of interesting, this case, because there's so many things that like point to her, yet somebody collaborated or somebody, you know, said, no, it wasn't like that. She had experts in court saying it wasn't like that when everybody else was like, we saw it. Like, what? Like, for instance, the hatchet was found in the basement. It was perfectly cleaned off, okay, and the handle was broken off. There were so many people that were like, oh, my God, okay, well, we found the hatchet. It was cleaned off. The handle's broken. Nothing else was found. Then you have a sheriff, the main sheriff in town, saying, oh, yeah, we found the hatchet, but the broken handle was right next to it. Then where was it? So it's like, what? Then you have the forensics expert saying, oh, there's no way that the hatchet could have been cleaned off in, you know, right after the murder. And then they're like, well, given the time frame and that it was Lizzie that found him, if she did it, she could have all the time in the world. So it's just, it was insane. The rumors that flew, things that went, they start saying that Lizzie showed signs of serial killer tendencies when she was little. They said that she mutilated animals and was cruel to animals growing up. Something about setting them on fire, all sorts of things, usual serial killer stuff. Not quite sure if she wet the bed, which is another sign of serial killer. But, you know, the whole animal thing was there. And so anyway, you got the whole hatchet thing happening. Then this is what cracked me up, right? Because this would have solved it. This, to this day, would have told us if Lizzie Borden did it or not. They could have, because at the time that this happened in 1892, they had figured out a way to do forensic fingerprinting. Our fingerprinting we have today, they were starting to figure it out back then. So the town decided they could have fingerprinted the axe because they had this new science available to them. Instead, they said, no, I don't think that's going to work. I don't trust that new science. They never fingerprinted the axe. I was like, okay, that would have solved it right there. Because if it was her prints, you know, no. They thought the town was in that whole, like, it's kind of like those people that have A-tracks, and then, like, what they have, cassette tapes came along or whatever, and they're like, nah, that's never going to catch on. They ain't going to catch on, you know? And then sure enough, boom, A-tracks were obsolete, and, you know, cassettes caught on. Or then the cassette people, yeah, no, I don't agree with that. No, CDs will never catch on. And now we have CDs, and who owns a cassette player? Unless you buy, like, a 20-year-old car and burn a mixtape, or, I'm sorry, not burn, actually record a mixtape. Yeah, it's not going to happen. So, I mean, I just thought that was funny that back in the day they had the technology available to fingerprint the axe. They could have easily solved the Borden case, and they said, that strange technology, we shall not use that. We're going to just draw crop circles and hope the UFOs come down and tell us who did it.
Why, heck. Sun still revolves around the earth.
The earth is flat. You can fall off. My God. So I hate to say it, but that's the case of Lizzie Borden. And I don't know. Just like I said, so many things. There's clothes found. There wasn't clothes found. I mean, blame was thrown onto another. There was a similar crime in the area, supposedly. Another axe murder happened. Oh, this guy did it. And funny, but the guy's name was like Jose. Yeah, some random Mexican guy was randomly in this affluent town and randomly murdered people with an axe, right? And then, you know, like he went through the whole town like on a spree. Yeah, okay. And I mean, the real case came down to, I mean, I don't know. I personally believe she did it. I want to believe she did it because Lizzie Borden's cool. That was a case I grew up with as a kid. I mean, that's a case I loved. I was a kid thinking, oh, my God, Lizzie Borden. You know, you heard the theme song. You saw the shows. You saw references in you know, TVs, you know, movies, anything. Just references all around about Lizzie Borden. You knew who she was. You knew the crime that happened. And, yeah, she may have been guilty. She may not have been. But I personally thought it was scarier to think she did it. Did you ever see pictures of her? She's a frightening-looking woman. And she became a spinster, no surprise. But she's a frightening woman. I could see her picking up an axe and totally getting somebody in the head with it. So, and I mean, that's not a bad thing. If that's what you like to do, we're all for serial killers. You know, we dig them, whatever. Yeah. Now we're going to have serial killers stalking us. You said you were for me. Oh, my God, let me out of your trunk. No, I mean, like I said, I'm for her doing it because it proved that men did not have a corner on the market as far as serial killings, that really you couldn't just say, oh, it's just men that kill. You know, it also proved that women could do it too. So I was totally for, you know, them saying that she did do it. But I think the main reason, and there's so many books out, so many theories, there's so many conspiracy theories on it. I think the main reason she got off was because she is a woman of affluence. Her dad was rich, or he appeared that way. He actually wasn't. They were in sort of financial despair, but they were affluent to the town. They put airs on, and, I mean, the town thought they were prominent, and they were wow, they were one of the head families in town at the time, and oh, the Borden, everybody knew the Borden girls, and this and that and the other, and because she's a woman of stature and found to be guilty, I mean, that was unheard of at the time. She was one of the only women of class, of stature, of society to be found guilty for, or I mean, not found guilty, but accused of committing murder on her parents, nonetheless. So I believe she got off because they took it as a joke. You're not supposed to put a woman of affluence in a chair and say she did anything wrong. So why would you? And why would they take it seriously? So that's how I think she got off. I think the town, I think everybody was just like, nah, she's rich. She didn't do it. That was basically the mindset. I mean, look at the mindset about the fingerprints. So I don't know. But this is the anniversary, August 4th. The anniversary when the parents were murdered and found. So I hope on August 4th, I know we missed hanging out with you guys that day, but I hope you guys all sang the little jump rope song and held a special piece in your heart for Lizzie Borden and her parents and their Bastion's Falls and split open eyeballs. But I know here we're celebrating. And it does. And exciting news, though, is they actually, the house where the murders actually happened is turned into a B&B. It's now bed and breakfast. And I do have the exciting news of saying that my business manager and I have arranged things where we will be staying at the Lizzie Borden B&B. So when that comes, that's going to be a special show because I will be doing it live from the B&B of Lizzie Borden. I mean, how cool is that? So, you know, and I will be, I'm requesting to stay in the room where her stepmother got it in the face. So we're going to see what kind of crap happens there, folks. I don't know. I don't know. Some good stuff. I may not be returning to do another show, but whatever. I'm sure people are pleased. Oh, my God, is she done talking yet? So anyway, good stuff with that. And, of course, August 10th, which is today, correct? Am I off? Am I that off? I'm serious. This week is flown by. That's why I did not – we're not doing an intense show.
It is definitely.
Good times. That's why we're not doing an intense show, people. We've got so much crap going on with Spirit Fest in Atlanta. Oh, my God. If stuff works out, we got big news for you guys. We got big stuff happening. You guys are going to freak out. We're going to send Russian to your house. We're going to send my Russian producer to your house. It's going to be insane. But August 10th, which is today, of 1969, this is also an anniversary, of the Manson family butchering Sharon Tate and several of her guests in her home. Sharon Tate at the time was, I believe, about 2 weeks prior to giving birth. So she was only 2 weeks away from giving birth to her unborn child. They slaughtered her, slaughtered the kids, smeared her blood all over the walls. I'm trying to think. The other guest that she had there was Abigail Folger, who was actually the heiress to the coffee fortune, slaughtered her boyfriend. They slaughtered hairdresser J.C. Bring, who was kind of a name at the time. But yeah, everybody knows Sharon Tate. Of course, everybody knows Charlie Manson. I think people know Charlie Manson more than they know Sharon Tate, which is actually kind of sad. I mean, it kind of shows you our society. People will know and remember somebody that butchers people and, like, was a cult leader, but they won't remember, like, a promising and aspiring and awesome actress who did a lot of great stuff and was married to one of the most, you know, influential directors of all time. They won't remember that, but they'll remember Charlie Manson. Yeah, yeah. I mean, like I said, I'm interested in serial killers. It's my hobby as well. But come on, Sharon Tate, man. I mean, she was in Valley of the Dolls. She was in Fearless Vampire Killers, which is one of my all-time favorite movies, you know, directed by Roman Polanski, which is her hubby, and or was her hubby at the time, I should say. And I don't know. I just it's sad to think that this is the state. It's the same thing with movies nowadays, which I went on a rant on G&D earlier because I reviewed Ghost Story with Fred Astaire, Melvin Douglas, Douglas Fairbanks Jr., all these freaking, you know, classic actors from the golden age of Hollywood. And I was going on this rant about how, you know, they had respect and power and class, and it was about making films, and it was about, you know, storylines and sets, and they didn't have technology, and they didn't have all this crap and the CGI. It was about the passion and artistry. It was about pride in their work, and you don't see that anymore. And it's the same thing with this. You know, everything's about murder and gore, and, you know, I'm obviously a gore girl, but, dude, I'm also a movie person. You know, remember Sharon Tate. She did awesome stuff. I don't know. I'm not familiar with any of J.C. Sebring's hairstyles, so I can't really mourn him. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Mr. Sebring, and to your family. I don't know any hairstyles you did, so I can't, like, throw you in on the Sharon Tate bandwagon. But anyway, yeah, the Manson family came, butchered them. You know, of course, Charlie never committed any of the murders. He had his girls do it. Charlie's angels do it. And he actually was kind of pissed off that the murders that he did at Sharon Tate's house didn't spark a public panic. So he actually sent them out to slaughter more people that night. He was sure that by killing them, it would cause some public outbreak and people would go running through the streets thinking they were going to get slaughtered, but, like, nobody did anything. So he was all ticked off and commanded more murder and mayhem. So I just thought that was interesting. I don't know.
I do like mayhem.
I don't know. But yeah, rest in peace, Sharon Tate. And, you know, got some Lizzie Borden, got some Charlie Manson stuff going on for you. I don't know. I will not lie. I do own shorts that say Save Charlie. So I don't know. But that's just my serial killer isms. It's good stuff. But yeah, good anniversary stuff there. Do you have an anniversary you're doing today?
No.
It's like, what's an anniversary? I don't like anniversaries. Oh, yeah, the Chicago Birds. Oh, yeah, those damn monster birds, yeah. Oh, yeah, you didn't think I forgot about you. Uh-huh, mm-hmm. Yeah, uh-huh. I got my credit card safely in my pocket, thank you very much, for those monster birds. I tell you, they swoop down from the sky, they steal kids, then they swoop down again, try to take your credit card, and they're like, ah, we're going to take your credit card, see, and we're going to order 50 Domino's pizzas, see, and they're going to like it, see, because we're going to peck your eyeballs out. I mean, come on, yeah, yeah, we know. We're there. We got you birds. We got you birds pegged. That's right. I don't know. Or the monkeys, remember?
Oh,
we had that caller.
Monkeys.
We had that caller that told us about the monkeys in China when I made the faux pas of saying something South Parkian. But that was I'm going to say it the correct way now. Those monkey bastards. We're not going to say the other thing, which got me in a heap of trouble. But, yeah, I don't know if Nathan from G&D was here. He would have propped that thing up, you know, the comments of Gore Girls that represent the Gore Girl Variety Hour. Oh, my God, it's good stuff. Well, guys, like I said, this is a show to chill, relax, because we've got some insanity for you the next 2 weeks. So I want you to be ready, because I don't think you're ready. I don't think you can handle it. I don't think you're ready for all the guts and gore we got coming for you. But what do you think, Techie Ed? Do you have a short story to share?
I think I do have a short story, actually.
Yes, we're talking about the Native Americans, and we are going to Spirit Fest next weekend, guys. And Spirit Fest, remember I told you all Native Americans, all spiritualism, good stuff like that. Well, we actually have to leave you with as like a cliffhanger to our freaking amazing show we're going to have next weekend. Techie Ed knows one of the earliest Native American myths. So share that with our people.
Well, this myth is from around the Dakota regions, and it is called Coyote Woman Meets Old Man Coyote. Now, in the beginning,
there's just Coyote Men and Coyote Woman. And they held their genitals in a medicine bag. Medicine bags being obviously important. So they meet.
I hold my genitals in a medicine bag, too.
Of course. So they meet, and they say, old man Coyote say, hey, we're similar. Woman Coyote says, no, we're not. I have this piece. And she pulls out her, you know, vagina. And I'm going to say that.
Can we say that on air?
I just did.
Okay.
And
it's a clinical term.
Yeah, okay. Of course. An old man Coyote pulls out his penis. Says, I have this. So they debate, what are we going to do with this? And old man Coyote says, well, why don't we put this on our navel? And Coyote woman says, no, it would get in the way. So she says, why don't we put it in our legs? So it's out of the way and, you know, won't get in our way and while we're walking and stuff. So then she notices, hey, it looks like your piece can fit in mine. So, you know, she says, this feels pretty good. So then they realize that maybe we can make more of us this way. So they decide that this is how human beings are going to be made. And at the very end, Coyote Woman says, you know what, for good time's sake, why don't you stick that in me again? And that is the creation myth.
Is it really the creation myth?
That is the creation myth of how the first human beings from a myth from the Dakota region came into being.
Oh, so that's the Dakota region Native American myth.
Right.
And are there other myths, like different Native American tribes have different myths for the creation of life?
Oh, of course.
Very good, very good. So, like, the Dakota region, how many?
Well, this would incorporate tribes like the Sioux, the Crow, I believe the Blackfoot, Montana's.
Nice.
So, I mean, they might not have the same particular story. I believe this is, if I'm not mistaken, this is a Blackfoot myth, but...
See, guys?
It's interesting.
I mean, it was a little... I was like, we're getting a little pornographic now, but it's okay. But that's actually a creation myth. So that's apparently how the Blackfoot tribe in the Dakota region thought that life began. And isn't it kind of funny? You would think it'd be like spears and feathers and things and, you know, a great spiritual... No, my part fits in your part.
Yeah.
It's like, what?
And it's just like that.
Are we five? What happened? My puzzle piece fits your puzzle piece. We're going to make more puzzle pieces. What? What? You're Native American. Come up with something cooler.
You got to realize, though, the Coyote is tricksters, so that's how tricksters are. They're like, they do stuff out of, like, stupidity and not knowing that they're doing it.
Oh, God, and the world hates its head. These are the myths that we grew up on. Okay. No, that's very cool. I never knew that that was a myth until you said something, and I thought that was very cool to share with our listeners because that's a myth. That's an actual myth. We did not make this up 5 minutes before showtime. This is an actual myth.
It's an actual myth.
That's very cool.
You could probably go to a Blackfoot reservation. They'll probably tell you that story.
Wow.
Probably better than I told you.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I'm sure it'd be even more insane. I don't know. All right, guys. Well, that is our show for tonight. It was just an hour of rambling, mayhem, and stuff. So get ready for us next week when we are coming live from Spirit Fest in Joplin, Missouri. Take care.
Come on, baby, don't you wanna go? Chicago.